Bonjour, comment ça va? I wish I could preach in French. I would like to say thank you to Sean and Robin for the privilege they're giving me to be in front of people of God. Sean and I and Robin, we've met, some years ago. It's not my first time to come here, but I remember the last time I came, Sean took me and we went to eat some seafood. I've never forget that food. My wife was there at that time. So since that time, my heart was connected to this couple. I'm telling you, I really love their joy. All the time we meet, we talk, and I like the way Sean is laughing. Oh, bro, I just feel at ease. I would like to thank you so much for being here, and coming here to New York, it's a privilege. Coming here to New York is just to say thank you. I don't know if I can get first the map of Africa, so to show you exactly where I'm coming from. So we got it at the very beginning here. So I don't know if I can get it. I'm sorry. So I'm coming from Africa. Is a very big continent. Very big continent. I'm coming from the central part of the Africa. I'm coming from Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. That's the place I'm coming from. And you know, in Congo, people speak French. They speak French, and I used to preach in French in my church. And so, Democratic Republic of Congo has got something like 450 dialects. And people speak four national languages. If you come from Congo, you're supposed to speak four national languages. So because the broadcast news is given in four national languages, people speak Chiluba, Lingala, Swahili, and Kikongo. And English, French is taught at school. When you go to school, then you learn French. French is our first language we used to speak when you go to school. And we learn English at school also. As me, I took English at school. So, but I'm very grateful to New York. Why? Because 18 people come from New York 35 years ago. They landed in Africa, especially in Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. So there's the place those people coming from New York came. I remember Mike Taliaferro and Anne Brigitte, remember Eve and Janet Fleurant, and all the missionaries who came from different countries. They came there, they start preaching the gospel. From 18 people who came there, they happened to spread out the gospel to many, many nations. Almost now, we have 38 churches across French-speaking countries and 6,000 disciples. And this thanks to the sacrificial heart of disciples in New York. And I was asking myself when Sean told me to share about to talk here in Queens. I was talking to myself, what am I going to talk to my brothers and sisters? And then I really come out with a simple decision to encourage you to see that your sacrifice, the work you did, it's not in vain. So this work, your sacrifice brought a cruth of the church in French-speaking countries in Africa. So I would like to share about the secret of that growth. This is what I'm going to talk to you now. The secret of that growth is, it's there already. So the secret of the growth is 3F. Fire, faith, and fruit. Sometimes people say, how are you guys from 18 people who came in Ivory Coast, and now you have many churches in French-speaking countries? But the secret is just behind three words. It's the fire, the faith, and the fruit. This is what produced it. But myself, how did I become a disciple? Because I'm coming from Congo. I'm talking to the church which was planted in Ivory Coast 35 years ago. I'm only 31 years as a disciple. But it means that 4 years later, I became a disciple in Abidjan. And how did I come in Abidjan? I was a Pentecostal minister sent to Ivory Coast to plant a church there. And when I arrived there from my own church, and one brother came to visit his colleague who was very sick in the place I was preaching. And that his colleague, his friend, told him that there is one minister from Congo. At that time, it was Zaire, who came to visit here. Can you go and thank him for what he did for me? And a brother came to me, he was like, okay, I would like to say thank you to you because you've been praying for my friend, and he told me that you helped him. I say, okay, what next? He say, okay, will you come and visit our church? I was like, which church again? I'm already in the church here. He said, no, we have another church. We have an open service in our church, Abidjan Church of Christ. Can you come and visit? Brother, that's the way I went there. I was like, I don't have time. I look at my schedule, my program, and say, I don't have time to go. Early morning when I was hesitating, the guy showed up with his car to pick me up. Wow. I was like, there is no excuse. This guy came already. He wanted me to go and visit his church. That's the way I went to that church, which is Abidjan Church of Christ, which was planted by the missionary coming from New York. Wow. In that time, the message which was preached that day, I've never heard this kind of message. And myself as a preacher, I was like, wow. Who taught this guy about my life? Everything he was preaching, it was like me. Someone told him about my life. What's going on? Bro, I was moved by the message. It was Hervé Fleurant, who was the missionary. He's now in San Antonio, who preached that message. And after that message, it was not easy. The story is very long. The way I struggled, of the way of taking decision, the challenges I went through to make up my mind and decide to become a disciple, the way was very long. But God did it. God did it. That's why I became a disciple. After 3 weeks of studying Bible, it was clear for me that I need to change my life because the way I was living was not true. And I've got the challenges which I supposed to write a letter to all the places I preached, telling them that I was preaching the false doctrine before I got baptized. It was clear for me that this is the kingdom of God. This is the church of God. And since I became a disciple, by the grace of God, I'm there. 31 years now, I'm a disciple. And God has blessed me with a wonderful family. You know, when you obey the word of God, God is blessing you. And then I went with the mission team to my country to start a church there, but God really blessed me with this family. My wife, Honorine, is from Cote d'Ivoire, so we met in a mission team when we went to plant a church in Congo, and we get married 27 years ago. And God has blessed us with a son, handsome son. My son, John Daniel, is 24 now, graduated from university. He's doing his internship somewhere, he's working. And my daughter is 22. He is doing his last year in university. But the blessing is that God gives us this family. And I love them so much because they are really helping us to do the work of God. Now, talking about the secret of growth, church grow. From Abidjan, we went to Kinshasa. God blessed. We have one region before, which was French-speaking country. May God bless. Now we have two regions of family. We have the church in West Africa, and we have the churches in Central Africa. My wife and I have a chance to oversee the 19 churches in Central Africa, which is in six nations: Congo, Kinshasa, Congo, Brazzaville, Central African Republic, Chad, Gabon, and Cameroon. So we have something like 2,600 disciples in Central Africa. To God be the glory. But what made us to that position? How did we reach, how did we see the growth of the church in Central Africa? The secret is just behind three words: the fire, the faith, and the fruit. That something very important to understand is this. The fire is something that God used to light everything. God used the fire to light everything. But the other thing you need to know, that God doesn't call people to live a cold life. You know, it's my first time to come to New York. It's very cold. So I come here maybe three times. But all the time I came here, so like that, you can either wear my cloth. I was just thinking home that I would wear my African trowel, my white cloth, and I was like, wow, am I going to freeze when I'm preaching or what? But when I saw people wearing African trousers here, cloth, I was very happy. I say, wow, this is very interesting. But thank you so much. God doesn't ask to be cold. God doesn't want us to be weak. And God doesn't want us to be tired and passive in the mission. This is some of the things we understand when we go to Central Africa, that we need to put fire in Central Africa. But when you look in the Bible, you'll find many places. You'll find through the Bible, God acts with fire. And I like those passages. I like those verses when God talks about fire. I'm sorry. It's coming. Okay, let's see. Okay. I seem to wait a little bit. Okay, there is a. Let's look at the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. Yes, here we are. This is the verse in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. The Bible said, "And Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock behind the wilderness and came to the mountain of God at Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appears unto him in the flame of fire, in the midst of the bush. Moses looked, and behold, the bush was all on fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will turn away to see what this great vision is, and why the bush is not consumed. And the Lord saw that he was turning away to see, and God called him out to the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he answered, here am I. And God said, draw not near me, but take off your shoes from their feet, for the place on which they stand is holy ground. This is not me. It's not Moses, me. This is Moses from the Bible. So what is going here? The fire here symbolizes the presence of God. Sometimes when we read this, we do not understand what's going on here. God wants to show that this fire which Moses saw revealed the presence of God. God is in the fire. The second one, the fire on the mountain of Carmel. What happened here? You know the story very well. 1 Kings, chapter 18, 20, 24. The Bible said, and Hakab sent the messenger unto the Israelites, and gathered the prophet together on the Mount of Carmel. Then Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you be wrong on both sides? If the Lord is God, go after him. If it's Baal, go after him. The people made no reply. And Elijah said unto the people, I alone have remained on the prophets of the Lord. And there are 450 prophets of Baal. Let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one of the bulls for themselves. And got into pieces and set it on the tree, and set the fire to it, and I will prepare for another bowl and set on the tree, and not the fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who will respond with the fire is the one who will be the God. What do we understand here? The fire revealed the power of God. Not only the power revealed the presence of God, the power revealed the power of God also. We need the presence of God if we need to grow. We need the power of God if we need to grow. In other texts there, let's talk about the fire which purify, sanctify. When you go in the Bible, you see that the fire was used to purify. And if we want to do great things for God, we need God to purify, to sanctify, to change our life. But the fire is doing this job. You look at the book, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 9, the power was used to purify. Let's talk about the fire in the New Testament. You said, okay, we talk about the fire in Old Testament, but now let's be in the New Testament. Look at what the fire is doing here. You know the story. Jesus left, went up. 120 disciples stayed. We know the place they were praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And at that time when they were praying, the Bible said to us exactly that the tongues like the tongues of fire appeared to them. And those people start speaking new tongues. This is the beginning of the church in Jerusalem. The disciples decide to go out now and start preaching the gospel. What do we learn here? When God sets fire to a life, that life becomes unstoppable. When we understand the life of God, the presence of God in our life, when we see the power of God in our life, when we understand that the power is coming, the fire is coming to purify and to sanctify us, and when we understand that the fire is coming to give us the passion which we saw in Jerusalem, in the life of apostles, those who are fearing, when they ask them the question to know, you were with Jesus, some of them said, no, we don't know him. But when the Holy Spirit came upon their life, they were able to go out and they preach the gospel. We call this the passion. Amen? Amen? That will be my first point. The fire, the passion that comes from God. The secret of our growth is this fire which produces in us the passion. This passion is coming from God. We saw that there were tongues upon them, they were speaking, but it means that the presence of God. You know, we had this passion in Central Africa. We went out sometimes and we go out to evangelize and they preach the gospel, talk to people, let them understand. And this passion is coming when you understand yourself where you were before. The passion is coming when you are very, very grateful to God, to what God did in your life. And when I look at my life, what I was doing before, how God changed my life, and I can't stop myself, stay home. I understand that God really converted me, changed my life because he wants to use me. And sometimes when I think, I said, maybe Jesus could come to Congo and preach the gospel and tell people to repent and change their life. But I look at my life, what I did. I remember when I was studying the Bible, they asked me the question, who killed Jesus? Do you know what I said? I was like, Jews. But I was preaching the gospel. I was going everywhere. People look at me like, wow, Moses, you were a preacher and you said Jews killed Jesus Christ. I didn't understand my own responsibility in the death of Jesus Christ. Any time I start understanding my responsibility in the death of Jesus Christ, I understand that Jesus Christ could come to Congo and preach the gospel, but my sins killed him. I have to take now his jury. I have to do what my Lord was supposed to do in Congo. He chose me. He wants to use my testimony to help other people get to know him. God never made a mistake when he converted us. There are so many people in New York, in Queens, but God chose you because you have a special story and you have a special history. God wants to use your experience, your story, to get other people get to know him. But imagine that you stay home. No passion. You don't like to go out. You say, oh, I'm happy God saved me. That's all for me. Other people, they have to do their best to discover the way to get to know God. But brothers and sisters, we are here because someone reached us out. Someone came across us. I remember that Joseph, who passed away already, he didn't evangelize me in the road, but he came in the church when I was preaching. Can you imagine if he closed his mouth? He didn't invite me. I couldn't become a disciple. I couldn't even be today in New York, in Queens, preaching. Brother and sister, God really chose us for his own story. And you need to play the role why Jesus Christ chose you. Amen? Amen? You have the presence of God already. You have the power. We were sanctified and purified through the word of baptism. That's right. And what we need now is spiritual passion. That's right. Let's stand up and get out now. When there is fire, there is transformation. When there is fire, there is growth. When there is fire, there is life. Yeah. God wants to rekindle the fire in your prayer life. Sometimes you feel that you don't even like to pray again. Yeah. God wants to rekindle it. I was very grateful to our group of singers right now. God wants to put the fire in our praise, in our services, in our vision. What's the vision do we have for our church here in Queens? Do you want to grow? Do you want to go very far and do great things for God? Fire never misses the calls. It burns, it enlightens, it attracts, and transforms. Amen? The second F is faith. Faith is the strength that moves you forward. Maybe you feel like you stop now. You can't go very far. But you don't ask yourself questions, what am I like this? In the very beginning, I was fired up. I was doing things. But now I don't do anything. You stopped running. What the Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a fragile hope. Faith is a deep conviction and certainty that God acts even when we see nothing. Even if you don't see anything happening, but you have faith. The example is Abraham. Believe. And we saw what happened. We have now, from the face of Abraham, we have nations. From the face of Abraham, we have destinies. Miracles happen on the faith of a single person. God wants to use your faith to change lives of people here in Queens. But you need to step out. You need to decide, I'm going to do something right now. Faith opens doors that men close. Faith moves mountains. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Faith draws the supernatural into natural. Faith, we need it for our family. Sometimes we look at our family, we say, no, I'm done. I don't know if my family will change again. Do you have faith that God can move mountains? Do you have faith that God can change the situations? Faith for our finances. So we like, oh, now I'm overwhelmed with my bills. I don't know how to do. God can change situations. Faith for our finances, faith for our health. We need it. Faith for your destiny. Where you put faith, God puts power. It's not about you. It's about God. You just walk out and you stand up and you see the power of God. Sometimes we there thinking, I don't know how to do, but God wants you to open your mouth. Speak to someone, and you'll see what God will do. When you put your faith, God put his power. Amen. My last point, let's talk about fruit. Fruits, what is it? Proof that God is at work. The fruits show that God is at work. What the Bible said in Matthew 7, verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. God wants to know us. What kind of the fruits are you producing? Look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Very important. We need them. This is maturity. So when we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it means that we become more and more like Christ. This is the maturity. God wants to bring us to that level. When people look at us, they just say, this is Christ. This is what is coming from the word Christian. Christian is coming from the Greek word where they call Christianos. You know, the disciples, when they were in Antioch church, people just look at them and they say that, look at the Christian. The word Christian means in Greek, those who are like Jesus. That's Christian. Some people say, okay, they introduce them. No, I'm a Christian. No, I'm a Christian means you are like Christ. Because Christianos, which is Christian in English, in Greek Christianos means small Christ. How are we going to become like Jesus Christ? It's through the truth, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Our love, our joy, our patience, goodness, peace. When we go some hard time, people want to look at us behaving like Christ. When you go hardship, are you complaining? Or are you like Jesus Christ? Jesus went hardship when he was going to the mountain of Golgotha. Did you see the way he was going? He was not complaining. That's the reason why they call him the Lamb of God. They didn't call him the God of God. Because the God, when you got the God, you want to kill the God, God is crying. But a lamb never cried. He was just going. Patient. Come on, brother. So we need to show this character. A Christian must prove the character of Jesus Christ in him. When we grow in faith, people looking at us, we becoming more and more like Christ. Those character changing in our life will bring other people to Christ. If your life change, other people will ask you the question, what's going on in your life? I would like to be like you. It's not easy, it's not the same day this is happening. So that's why we say that Christian life, we are in school, we are learning, we are growing. I remember the hard time I went through in my life. It was not easy. Sometimes I was crying. Someone was asking questions to God. Why this happened? The first hard time when I went through, it was when God asked me to go to Congo. I was in Abidjan. So the church in Congo was not doing well. I had been asked to go and help there. And when I went there, the first thing is, all my staff I got, we took the flight. People said that, okay, you just fly and your remaining staff, we'll put it in another flight coming next week and send it to you, which I accepted. So my wife and my kids will fly to Congo, and all our staff stayed in Abidjan. They are supposed to send us those staff on next week. When I was waiting my staff to come, I just listened that the flight had a crash in Cameroon. With all our staff inside. And people died also in that plane. I remember I was not like Jesus, because I start complaining. I was, wow, God, I just accept. You said I'm a missionary. You send me in a mission and you take all my stuff. Bro, sometimes it's not easy to be like Jesus. It's not easy. I will start complaining. But I remember one brother who helped me. He called me from Cote d'Ivoire. That brother is from Ghana. He's my friend, Paul Smith. Paul Smith asked me. I was just complaining. I don't know why I accept to go to Congo, and I lost all my stuff, my diploma, all things, so fall and so on. That brother looked at me and said, Moses, do you remember that in that plane there are people who lost their husband, who lost their wives, their kids? And you've been complaining about stuff. Wow. I was like, oh, hey, bro, I need to be like Jesus. Sometimes not easy, bro. But I know hardship comes in our life to build our character. God is using all the problems we're going through just to prepare us for the good things coming. So we need to be in the place. We have to be planted in the word of God to be able to respond as like Jesus when the problem comes. The Bible says that the plant, it's like the tree planted on the stream of the water. It bears fruits in its season. If you do not bear the fruits you're supposed to produce, it's because you are not planted at the place you're supposed to be. Wow. All the place is the word of God. Wow. A healthy tree does not strive to produce fruit. It produces fruits naturally because it's rooted in a good source. Amen? Yes. Are you there?
Yes.
The fire kindles faith. Fire kindles. Faith advances, but the fruit shows what God has actually produced. The fruit demonstrates spiritual maturity. The fruit draws people to Christ, and the fruits glorify God. What comes out of your life is the proof of what is happening in your life. It's very important to understand that. Just open your mouth. The thing which is coming out of you reveal what is inside you. It reveals if you are really rooted in the word of God, in the source of the water or not. Let me conclude my message. How do we move from the fire to faith and from the faith to fruit? Step one, light your altar again. Please, let's light our altar again. Begin to pray passionately. Seek the face of God. Take away that which extinguish your life. Sometimes there are sins. We do not confess. We don't talk about it. And those things we hide in our heart, this is what is really extinguishing our fire. Second step, decide to believe again. So many people do not believe again. Believe the word. Believe the promises. Believe what God has said about your life. What God said about your family. What God said about you. The Bible is the book of promises. Almost 8,000 promises in the Bible. How many do you know? A God is a God you have to every time tell him what the Bible said. God wants people who remind him the promises. Step three, let God transform you. Forgive. The transformation starts with forgiveness. You can be a Christian, but there are people you didn't forgive yet. So because he hurt me, what he did, I'm not forgive him. Him and me will meet only in heaven. I don't know if you will be together in heaven if you don't able to forgive yourself here. Change what needs to change. Advance in obedience. We become at a time when we discuss about everything. We discuss even with the word of God. But we need obedience. The fruit comes after the fire. We need fruit. Everybody needs fruit. I need fruit. I'm a Christian for a long time. What is the fruit? The fruit comes after the fire. And the fire after the faith. Let's put it in the water. Let's put fire in our life. Let's put the passion first. And then add the faith. And you'll see the fruit. God wants people on fire. Not cold people. Not weak people. God wants people on fire. God wants people, a people of faith. God wants a people that bears fruit. God is looking for men and women inflamed by the Holy Spirit, walking by faith, and bearing fruits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this privilege you have given us to listen to your word. This word is a truth. You want our life to be to change this morning. Lord, rekindle your fire in us. Increase our faith. Make us a people that bears abundant and lasting fruit. May your glory be seen in our lives, in our families, in our church, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. I want to just give you a little gift here. Let's thank Moses for the great job that he did. Moses.